someone once said that people can do quite interesting things and amazing things, and people with amazing talents can really do exceptional things. But the Christian is called to do the impossible. That's not quite the same, is it? Doing the impossible is impossible unless God's at work in us. And that's the promise of God by His Spirit to help us. And we're going to look at this with this young guy called Joseph. Joseph, in chapter 37 of Genesis, a young man of 17. Have you seen the film or whatever it is, the Technicolor Dreamcoat thing? I haven't, but anyway, there you are. I don't think the coat looked like that. I think that's a bit of an artistic license on that one, yes. What would this teenager be? Remember, he's a teenager, 17. You know teenagers? Interesting youth, aren't they, yes? What do you think this teenager would be like?
He'd show off.
This Joseph.
Look what I
got. Yeah. Could be rebellious. Could be all of that. And knows a lot, yes? Knows that, well, we know everything when we're that age, don't we? All I want to say is we're going to look at this about Joseph. Several commentaries and people who make comments about this passage in the Bible seem to make out that he was a bit of a stroppy youth, as you'll see some of the things he did. I don't agree with them. And the reason I don't agree with them is when Joseph gets carted off to Egypt, he didn't suddenly learn how to behave righteously. There was something about him that was there already in this lab as a youngster that made him mark him out as different. That's the thing. And so let's have a look at our next one. One of the things I want to say about this young Joseph, he was a shepherd lad amongst other things, is this. There is no criticism whatsoever about him in the book of Genesis or in the Bible. Now the Bible, I've said before, paints people warts and all. If there was something that could be said about him that was wrong, it would have said it. I'm not claiming he was perfect, you know. As a human being, we all have our limitations, don't we? But there is no criticism about Joseph. And one of the reasons I think that might be so is that in some ways, his life is prophetic of Jesus. So we'll look at it as we go through in the book of Genesis. But there are things about Joseph that occur to him that God was almost pre-running, as it were, of the events in Jesus' life. Yeah? And so Joseph is a bit of an example, I think, rather than someone not to be followed, someone as an example to live up to, in a way. As a young lad of 17, well, let's see what happens next. He was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. Well, they were tending flocks. That was their job. You know, give them a job to do, is that right? That's the way to help our youngsters, give them some work to do. And Joseph is no different. He's got a job with the other brothers, and they're farmers, of course, looking after these flocks and so on. Why did he go with those sons rather than the others of the two other wives that Jacob had? I suspect they were younger, that's the thing. Might be more of his age, something like that, yeah? Anyway, people pal around with folks of their own age quite often, don't they? Mm. Unless you mix with some older like me, you know. Well, there, that's different, but there you are. So he's going to share with his brothers and work with his brothers. But there's an interesting little bit that comes next that can be interpreted in two ways. I'm taking a positive slant. Some of our commentators take a bit of a negative one, as you'll see. Yeah, next then, please. He brought their father a bad report about them. He told his father they were up to no good. That's the bad report. Do you think he made it up? No. I don't think he did. So why did he tell his dad? He felt responsible to tell his dad. I think that's partly it. Joseph has a good relationship with his dad. That's one of the things. And I think he thinks, Dad, they're not doing what you want them to do. That's my guess. So maybe his dad had asked him to keep an eye on them, because he's already had trouble with the other brothers, hasn't he, father? Yeah, and so he's wanting Joseph to keep an eye on him, perhaps. That's going to make life difficult for Joseph, of course, but he told his dad what they were up to. That's the thing. Next then, please. Now Israel, that's Jacob then, now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because they'd been born to him, or he'd been born to him in his old age. He had favourites. Is that a good thing?
No.
It isn't a good thing. Of course, one of the things that's important is with our families, they're all different. You can't treat them identically, but you should love them the same. That's the point, yeah? Some have different strengths, some have different difficulties, problems in common, you know? Our two girls are quite different. Delightful girls, they're different, so you handle them in a different way to some degree, yeah? So favouritism isn't a bad thing, yes? So why was Joseph the favourite? Well, he says he was born to him in his old age, but Benjamin was even younger. I think, yes, he's 17 now, so he can have more of a relationship, man to man in a way, than with the younger Benjamin, young boy really. Yeah, that may be part of it. I also wonder whether there was something about Joseph that old Jacob could see his wife in. You know, Rachel who's died, he could see likeness of his mum. You can do that with your kids sometimes, can't you? That might be a bit of a reminder, so those affections were there. But also, why not Benjamin? I think perhaps whenever he saw Benjamin, it reminded him of the sad loss of his life. Mm-hmm. That might be part of it. So anyway, Joseph, for whatever reasons, apart from being a young lad as well, is the favourite. Is that a good thing?
Yeah.
No, it's not a good thing, but there are some positives.
Yeah.
Next, please. What would it mean to Joseph to know that he was really loved by his father?
Security.
He'd be absolutely secure in that, wouldn't he? There's something about knowing you're loved which helps, puts things on the right footing. And I just said a personal thing with my mum and dad. They were totally incompatible. How they ever got married, I do not know. But I'm glad they did, because I wouldn't be here otherwise, or my brother and sister. But I'll tell you this, for all their incompatibilities, we as children knew we were loved by both of them. Yeah? That was a given. For all their arguing and all of that, yeah, that we knew they would lay down their lives for us. You know, and that's something that really, for all the issues, that made some stability into your life. Well, Joseph had that. He knew he was loved. And that's really, really important. Do you know you're loved? That's that. I mean, from a human perspective, what was your dad like? If you've got a dad, some kind of didn't know about your dad. Yeah? Well, I've got news for you. Whatever your earthly father was like, they weren't perfect. We know that, don't we? Yeah, but you've got a heavenly father that the earthly fathers are sort of meant to represent to some extent anyway. Yeah? Okay, so Joseph is secure in his the knowledge of his love, of his dad's love for him, yeah? I'm certain that made a difference for him. Yeah? Next then, please. He made a richly ornamented robe for him. Well, there you are, that's the multicoloured coat that they described, yeah? What was it like? Richly ornamented. Does it mean it was multicoloured or it had embroidery stuff on it?
Like gold.
It could have been like them, Jean, yeah. Well, whatever it was, it stood out, that's the thing. Yeah. And why did Jacob give it? Why did Jacob... with speculation... I was talking to Jean about this. Jean and I discussed these before I showed them to you so that I get it right, you know. Yeah. Why did Jacob give it? Jean thinks, and I agree with her, it was probably a birthday present or something like that. Something just to mark out a special occasion. Like a bar mitzvah or something like that. Yeah. Whatever it was given this coat as a sort of special gift. The giving of the gift created a problem. As we know. Next slide, please. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. That's sad for Joseph, of course. It's just as well he feels stable in his father's love, because his brothers certainly don't love him. But I'm thinking about the brothers as well. How would you feel if you're part of the family to know you're second best, or even worse, yeah? They're suffering from what we call rejection, and it's a killer. It's an absolute killer when someone feels that they're not valued and they're not worthwhile. Rejection is a terrible thing, and of course it plays right into the sinful hearts that we have. So what do? They hate him. Why do they hate him? It's not his fault that dad likes him, is it?
Jealous.
It's jealousy. and they want what Joseph's got. Well, I'm sure Joseph would be glad to give it away. But there you are. Anyway, expressions of hate. Expressions of hate can mean they don't even talk to you. What about that? What a sad, sad business. Listen, I've got news for you. This is one dysfunctional family. And you know, God worked in this one dysfunctional family in amazing ways. So there's hope for us all, isn't there? Yeah, right then, next please. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. That was nice, yes. I suspect there was a belief that dreams were important. And Joseph knew it wasn't any ordinary dream. I suspect Joseph realized, to some degree, it was God showing him something. And if God does something for you, what do you want to do? You want to tell folks! You want to say, hey, look, God showed me something. And of course, we know that the dreams were meant to be, in the end, a blessing to his brothers. But they didn't get it that way. And that's the problem. What he said about the dream offended them. Well, I can understand. If you're feeling a bit rotten about this guy, well, this will just add fuel to the fire. So let's have a look at the dream, right, the first dream, yeah? He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Great, eh? Why did he tell them that? I think he was excited. I also think, and I'm not being critical about him, I think he was naive. Yeah, he's a young lad. He thinks they'll think, well, that's nice, isn't it? He doesn't realise. They won't think, that's nice, isn't it? They'll think, what's he think? Getting big ideas about himself. That's really what they thought, I guess.
Why did God give the dream to Joseph? Wouldn't it be better to give it to his father, for instance?
No.
Or one of the others?
No. Well, but it could have given it to them. Why did God give the dream to Joseph? What Joseph is going to face, he's going to need an anchor to keep him going through the difficulties. Yeah? Because when God makes a promise, he tends to keep it. And when you're in the bottom, you need that promise to keep you going. Honestly, I'm certain that's why God did it. Yeah. It's God speaking to this boy in his own personal way so that this boy will be able to survive what God knows is coming. Joseph doesn't know that, but God knows that. Yeah? But he told them, I think it was naive. He thought it was great. God, show me this. But,
I think he's got a better heart as well, probably.
Yeah, he did.
Because you can have six children and one would be really godly.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to, I'll mention that in a moment. But it's not just family issues. There are spiritual issues going on here. Yeah? Joseph is being touched and moved and called by God, and the brothers are still in the waiting room. And they're not spiritual. And the guarantee is the non-spiritual persecute the spiritual. Wayward. Yeah. Next one, please. Yeah. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? They obviously got the interpretation fairly good, didn't they? Yeah. Pretty good, yes. They've got no idea that God might be in all of this, you know. That's the problem. It was the same. I'm saying that in a way Joseph, as I say, is a picture of Jesus. Do you know they said virtually the same words to Jesus? Yeah. Who do you think you are? Do you think you're going to rule us? We won't have you to be our king. Yeah. It's all, you know, it's run along a long time. Yeah. So they said more or less the same stuff to Jesus in his day. Right, next one, please. Yeah. They hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. They hated him all the more. They looked for more opportunities to feel nasty about him. And if you look for opportunities to feel bad, I promise you, you'll find them. Because what they're doing is they're planting this root of bitterness. It's referred to in Hebrews. A root of bitterness. Yeah, it just digs deeper and deeper and makes your life a misery and everybody else's. And these brothers are open to that. God's going to have to do a lot of work to sort these brothers out, isn't he? Well, he's starting on Joseph anyway. Yeah. Next one, please. Right. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Oh, yes. Doesn't God make life difficult for people sometimes? But there you are. He's doing something with Joseph as well as the brothers. God has his reasons for these things, even if you don't like what he's doing. So, why did he tell them this one? same reason. I think it wasn't just a dream of what he'd had something funny to eat the night before. He knew this was special, and so he shared it with them. Because God made him a prophet to his family in a way, and he shared it with them. And I think, in a way, maybe he's not quite as green as he was before, because I wonder what he thought the reaction of his brothers would be now. Do you think he's thinking? Do you think he was still not thinking they're gonna? They might get it at last.
Yeah.
Well, you never know. Well, their first reaction was not pleasant, and their second reaction was certainly not pleasant. So, if he was thinking they were going to be iffy, then he needed to trust the Lord to share what he had to give. And we need that sometimes, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, you need the Lord's grace and strength to share something you know they're not wanting to hear, but they need to hear. Well, there. God live, give us grace, eh? Okay, Joseph, he talked from the dream. Magnificently. Listen, he said, I had another dream. At this time, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. Whoa, how about that? The sun, moon and 11 stars. Well, that ultimately, I've put it at the bottom, it's a clue to Revelation chapter 12. He has a vision where the sun, the moon and he sees a woman with the sun and the moon and 11 stars around her. Who is it? It's the nation Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is what this picture is. The 11 stars are his brothers. Yeah. Sun, the moon, mum and dad. Yeah, you've got the idea. But he's really saying, it's, I'm going to be Lord of the world. How about that? Well, was he?
Yeah.
He was, eventually. But he's a picture of somebody we know who is really Lord of the world. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And I'll just read this little bit from Acts. How could that happen? How would it happen that he'd become Lord of the world? Well, Peter says this to the people on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2 verse 36, he says this. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Wow. You thought you got rid of him. you've just promoted him to the top spot. Very good. Right. So, Joseph, there's a bright future for you, but the brothers aren't going to appreciate it at the moment. You see, God was going to use Joseph to protect his family. But they didn't get it. They just saw themselves as being underdogs. Now, next week, when he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to you, to the ground before you? So, well, Jacob, he interpreted it all right as well, didn't he? He got the idea. Of course, his mother's dead by now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's really using that sort of picture of the family, I guess. Yeah. Right. So, Joseph listens to his dad rebuking him. He says, his father rebuked him. What do you do when people don't understand you? Because Joseph thinks, God showed me something, and now they're all at me. How do you respond? What did Joseph, it doesn't say what Joseph did. He kept stum. That's what you have to do sometimes, isn't it? Just take it and be gracious and wait and see. Yeah. It's not easy though, is it? Right. What's the natural reaction when people don't understand you? You shout at them to make sure they get it right. Or you hit them so they really feel it. Yeah. Whatever. Joseph didn't do that with his dad anyway. He loves his dad. But you got the idea. We need to respond in a righteous way when criticism comes our way. Not easy. But Jesus taught us to do that. He says when you go to a town and they don't welcome you, what are you supposed to do? Shake the dust off your feet. It's their problem. It's not yours. So don't carry it with you. Yeah. Leave it there. Yeah. Okay, Joseph, they don't understand. Well, no, I don't suppose he did either at the time. So next slide, please. His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. How about that? Well, we don't understand the brothers getting jealous, you know. But it says, oh, there we are. His brothers were angry because he was not told off properly, I suspect. I think that's probably what the brothers were. They were jealous because Dad has been a bit lenient to him. Well, why was that? Well, as I said, it's a spiritual issue. These brothers are not spiritual. That's the problem.
The father's
but
been in over
Yeah, dad's ticking it over because dad is spiritual. Yeah. Yeah. Dad has had experiences of God showing him things in dreams.
Yeah.
Yes? And when this boy starts saying, hey dad, I had this dream, he might think, maybe God's doing something with him like he did with me.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what's going on in old dad's mind. Yeah? So could this be one of these God dreams that Joseph is getting as well? So he doesn't quite dismiss it all. He's thinking about it. He's going to tick it over in his mind. Well, yes, and the day will come when they'll say, ah, it was right, wasn't it? You've got to be patient. It takes a long time sometimes. They said, please, right. Okay, how will this dream be fulfilled? Because it's totally impossible. How is Joseph going to become Lord of the world? God's going to make it happen. But Joseph, I said this the other day. We'll see the story as it unfolds. If you were going to make Joseph prime minister or ruler of Egypt, second in only to Pharaoh, if you were going to make him like that, well, how would you train him? You'd send him to business school. You'd get him to meet people, how to win friends and influence people. You know, you'd get them to read the books. Get him to a good college so he'd be well qualified to be president of Egypt. Right. And what does God do?
Send him to prison.
Hey! God moves in mysterious ways, brothers and sisters, but the impossible with God becomes the possible, which is what's going to happen. But we've got to wait for that one. Listen, please. So I've got two things to ask you here. Are you a Joseph? Because I said Joseph is not just Joseph. He's a picture of Jesus, but of Jesus' followers too, I'd like to suggest. Facing hostility and misunderstanding. Does that happen to you because you're a follower of Jesus? Can do. Right? You're called to say blessings that may seem to be taken as curses. Paul says, you know, we're the savour of life and of death. We're the savour, we're the smell of life. Yeah? We're the aroma of life to those that hear and respond to God. But we're the smell of death to the same message, but those that are rejecting, it becomes a curse to them, in that sense. Yeah? Well, that's us, isn't it? Not just Joseph. And we're following in Christ's footsteps. Let me just quote what Paul says in his own experience as a believer in seeking to serve Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he describes this about himself. And this is far more intense than most of us will ever have to face, I guess. Chapter 4, verse 7, which says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. Right? We've got God's treasure in our bodies, jars of clay. To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Now, hear this catalogue of interesting events for him. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. How about that? So Paul's saying, you know, are you like a Joseph? You have to deal with these things. Difficulties, challenges, persecutions, problems, simply because you're a follower of Jesus. What does Jesus say? Blessed are you when people persecute you and say all sorts of horrible things about you for my name's sake. He said, rejoice and be glad, because that's exactly how they treated my other folks, the prophets. Yeah. You're in the right family, so that's why you get the flak. That's the negative side. But I want to finish with the positive side, if I may, next then, please. Are you a Joseph?
Yeah.
Well loved. Yes?
Yeah.
Well loved. Joseph knew he was loved. I honestly believe this is so fundamental for anybody who is a follower of Jesus. Make sure that you really know that he loves you. Yeah? Because once that's settled, like Joseph, he knew he was loved. Once that's settled, you're on a stable footing to face the knocks that the life has to throw at you. Do you know you're loved? Well, I can tell you this. I can say this with utter conviction. Jesus loves you. But do you know he loves you? That's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different, you see. I can say he loves you, but do you know he loves you?
Yeah.
Well, how do you know Jesus loves you? Well, he said it in his word. That's one thing. So Jesus says, I love you. Yeah, the man, God so loved the world. Who's in the world?
We are.
You? You're in the world? Yes. God so loved the world in this way that he gave his only son. Now that's the second way we can know that God loves us. He's told us, but if you don't believe him, he showed us. He gave Jesus to die on the cross for your sins and mine. Greater love has no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends, Jesus said. And he was about to do that for you and for me. So, well loved. Praise the Lord. Right, so next time you go and look in the mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the loveliest of them all? Yes. You can say that's me. Yes. That's what matters. So well loved and favoured. God's got good plans for you. Joseph, God's got good plans for you. I know it's going to be a hard journey, but you're going to finish up in the right place at the right time for God to use you in an amazing way. Well favoured. Well, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're blessed. In many ways. We've got the Bible, dear friends. Yeah. You know, people gave their lives for you to get that book in your hands.
Yeah.
Yeah? We're favoured with that. We're favoured with brothers and sisters we can meet with and share and encourage each other. That's good.
Nice.
Yeah? And we're favoured with the challenges. How about that? Yeah. Nice few challenges. Keep your shit, you know. Well, there you go. That's it, right? The last one. Last one. Yes. Are you a Joseph? Dressed in the special robe. You know the coat of multicolours or whatever it is? The richly ornamented robe? Well, how about this? It says in Galatians 3:27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. I've got Jesus on. You don't get a better coat than that. And I've got news for you. The brothers can't nick it from you. And they can't tear it. The righteousness of Jesus is totally impermeable to damage. And you know, the other good thing is when you've got Jesus on you, Father sees you through Jesus. So all that sin stuff, dealt with. Praise the Lord. So there's more to Joseph than meets the eye, you know. He's a spiritual lad, a young boy, and that's the encouraging thing as well. I know most of us are clocking a few miles of age now, yeah, but you know, it's an encouraging thing for youngsters. God can speak to young people. God can work in their lives as much as golden oldies, eh?
Yeah.
That's good. So encourage the kids. That's the way. Right, so I think that's it, isn't it? Yes. So are you a Joseph?
Yes.
Working on it. Work in progress. There we are. Let's pray. Eh? Father God, we thank you for Joseph. Lord, for the healer. Way that you led him, Lord, you knew best as to what would be best for him, Lord, because when he became ruler of Egypt, he had to handle some difficult situations, I'm sure, Lord. So the grit and the solidity in his life, stemming from the love of his father and the experiences he went through with your presence, Lord, I know it's in later on in the book, but Lord, your word says time and again about Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph. Lord, that was the key to his success. Lord, for our lives, we come to you this morning. May we know that you're with us. Lord, because without you, we can't do anything, Lord. We're really useless. But we thank you, Jesus, that in you, we can do the impossible. How to handle situations that would completely blow us up otherwise. Lord, thank you. And Lord, for any here that really don't feel that they're loved, Lord, may they, by your spirit, Lord, just respond to you. And Lord, that you will invade and fill their hearts and minds and spirits with that real sense of love, Lord. Your word says, Lord, that the Holy Spirit sheds abroad in our hearts the love of God. Father, thank you. Lord, and we're robed in the righteousness of Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Thank you for it. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Amen.